Hola, ¿qué tal? Buenos días. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440 AM. ¿Qué tal en este día lluvioso? And I have to say, I can feel the Christmas spirit already. Las luces ya están puestas, posadas are happening, Christmas parties are, left and right. I mean, gosh, se están hasta metiendo hasta los miércoles. I mean, you would see, Thursday, Friday, now they're Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and into the weekend. And speaking of parties, I wanted to start off the show to let you know that there is going to be a wonderful little get-together. There's going to be a mixer at the Vine Studios. Y que más que nada menos que Will, Marcencia, will be talking to us a little bit about what's going to be happening at the Vine this evening. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to join you guys. I really wish I could. Pero without further ado, Mr. Will Marcencia is here in the studio with me to talk a little bit about Napa County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. They will be having their holiday mixer. I'm aware that you guys are going to do that, and it's so embarrassing, Will, that, esta mañana me dijeron, hey, are you coming? And I'm like, I have a school board meeting, so I can't be here with you guys to mix it up, of course.
All right.
So welcome.
Thank you. So what time is the board meeting?
So we go into closed session at 5 o'clock.
Okay, and it ends at?
Whenever.
Okay.
We've gone as late as 11 plus.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I don't think that I can't tell you come here for the after party because I'm not sure that there'll be one, but I hope your badge works. So the holiday mixer, yes, is from 6 to 7:30 this afternoon at our new studios at 135 Gasser Drive. You can't miss it. It's right across from the movie theaters or right next to Southside Cafe and Computer Engineering Group. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing about this specific mixer that we do every December is that we choose a local nonprofit and all the raffle proceeds go to that nonprofit.
That's awesome.
So the beneficiary this time around is the Friends of Napa County Animal Shelter. So there's going to be little fur babies here that are up for adoption because I think that the count's at like over almost 90 animals.
Really?
That are in need of adoption. So hopefully we can...
hopefully we can get some adoptions rolling.
Yeah, exactly. People walk out with, they come in empty-handed out with a cat, a kitten, or a puppy in their hands.
Like a whole family.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of...
Now, are those numbers high right now because of winter months?
I think so. I'm not an expert on the exact numbers of how the adoption works,
right.
But I know that the Napa County Animal Shelter is having a Clear the Shelters event this weekend as well,
okay,
where it's highly discounted, the adoptions are.
Muy bien.
As well.
At the holiday mixer, what could we expect? Like, who's coming? What's the purpose that Napa County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce comes together for these monthly mixers?
I think that the most beneficial thing that people can get is, the opportunity to meet other business leaders. And it's not necessarily just Latino business leaders. It's business leaders in the community. Mm-hmm. And it gives you just an open forum to mingle and talk about things.
It's great PR for sure.
No, I'm absolutely. Sure. Yes. And if you bring a raffle prize, if you bring a raffle item, mm-hmm. You also get to talk about your business. So you get like a 60-second, infomercial kind of like.
I'm going to send somebody pitch with a raffle prize so they can help me out with my business. Like,
go
do your thing. And then I got to go to a meeting.
Yeah. So we always welcome that. And, it's really nice to kind of see everybody get together in one space. And, you can hit up. It's like a speed network. It could be like a speed networking thing where you just kind of talk to four or five people. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm just going to go off of what I found out on the Napa County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, excuse me. And you guys are pretty much together and you guys are promoting economic advancement for the Hispanic population and to serve almost like that bridge between the non-Hispanic and Hispanic negocios that are out there. So I know that you guys just had a fundraiser. What was it? Gosh, just had a fundraiser in the summer.
Gala, yeah. in July. It's coming up again
halfway. We're already like at the midpoint.
Right.
So it really does. Oh my gosh, these months have been going so fast because I feel like apenas fui a la gala and here I am again now probably pre-planning for that stuff. But, you know, what do you guys do with gala money and how do you guys help? Because I saw some of the benefits and it's like you guys do grand openings. I saw online not too long ago you guys were doing a ribbon cutting.
For Aura Dentistry, yes.
Yes.
We do ribbon cuttings. We're also getting a lot more involved with the SBDC to become a resource for people for, you know, whenever they have a question about anything relating to their business or even wanting to start a business, we're definitely, you know, we'd like to be the person like, oh, let me call the Napa County Hispanic Chamber and see if they want to, if there's other businesses that just want to do more business with the Latino community here in Napa, then those are also, you know, welcome to.
Yes, yeah, see, like yourself and your wife, you guys were new to the Valley. You guys kind of joined the Hispanic Chamber. How would you say that kind of like, así como ves el abrazo that was given to you, how do you think that's being given back?
I think that that's, it's the living element and example of what you can expect from coming to a chamber mixer. It's, you know, people are, oh, you know, if they don't recognize you because you don't usually come,
yeah.
It's not that awkward, like, who's this new guy? You know, yeah. Who's this new person? It's more of a, hey, welcome. You know, let us tell you about the chamber and let me introduce you to at least five different people that, you know, you can meet in our community. And, you know, to what you were saying, Jalissa and I, that was the exact first thing that we felt when we came to the Hispanic Chamber for the first time to a mixer.
I know. I think, and I have to say that Napa's kind of unique that way that, you know, when there's un nuevo negocio, a new couple, it's kind of like, wow, you're bringing an added benefit to our town. So come on in.
Exactly.
So it is very welcoming. And I wanted to highlight the whole fact that it was going to be a... tonight was really going to be about not just mixing it up for chamber and business purposes. It's really a purpose behind it. It's giving and giving more so to like our Napa County
animal shelter.
Excuse me. Yeah. I was going to say something else. and then kind of walking away with something, un regalo that'll probably be, you know, at least a brighten up someone's world, whether it's yourself, los chiquillos. I mean, I'm sure everyone says it's a huge responsibility, but once the pet is in your house, it's like, I can't give it back.
Right, no, exactly. This is mine. He's part of the family. Yeah.
So, Will, is there any, like, how can I join Napa Hispanic Chamber of Commerce? Like, how, if at a mixer, can I expect to someone take my membership? Is that even possible? Or do I do that afterwards? Or it's just that connection
No, absolutely. There will be a representative here, Laura Paz, and or Laura Paz. Sorry. Yeah. I had my anglicized pronunciation ingrained in my brain. So, Laura Paz is the representative that is more than happy to take your information and can walk you through the easy steps to become a member.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I want to say that there are going to be a lot of benefits, especially with you guys doing the SBDC. And now that I'm looking about your about page here, había unas cosas that I wanted to mention about what you guys are doing. So you talked about the ribbon cutting celebrations. You have an opportunity to attend selected Hispanic Chamber events, advertising on websites. So it's kind of getting your foot in the door to... so people can know who you are in the community and not just that afuera de Napa, because I'm sure that, I mean, once you start thinking about chambers of commerce, they're everywhere.
Right.
So if I'm from San Jose, if I'm from LA and I'm coming or moving into Napa, the first thing I would do was actually check in with the with chambers of commerce. It just has it speaks volumes, I think. So if you missed it, we're talking here with Will Marcencia, and we are talking about the holiday mixer that will be here in the studios of The Vine. It will be at 135 Gaster Drive. We are in Suite D here in Napa, across the parking lot from the Century Theaters. Mm-hmm. And it is tonight from 6 to 7:30?
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Okay. And what can we expect? Music, baile, canto?
So right before, I mean, obviously we have access to about 25 years of nonstop music.
That's so awesome. That is
so
really good.
We will take requests. But right before that, something that the Vine is actually doing is today is our second annual Kids Holiday Sing-Off event. And we have about over 25 kids right now. And yeah, they're from all ages. I think the youngest thus far is like 5 years old, and she's going to be singing her favorite holiday tune to a 17-year-old who goes to Vintage High, and I hear that she literally brings tears to people's eyes when she sings.
Oh my gosh. So, do you know her name? I'm just trying to remember this girl from Vintage High that was singing national anthem at...
Rachel, I think, is her first name.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think she's seven.
I think she's a senior at Vintage, so she signed up, and... our last year's winner, AJ Schreiner, we've been playing him on the Vine's holiday music rotation. Also, he sang Hallelujah and just brings chills to you.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
So it's very, very exciting to have all these kids that are interested in, just kind of showcasing their talent. There's prizes for the first place in each age group, but it's really not about that. You know, it's about just... Them having a good time.
Fun.
Exactly. But there are prizes as well, because that's always extra motivating.
Now, and I'm just going to close this off before we go to a quick commercial break, because I want everyone to understand that Napa County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is coming here to our studios, 135 Gaster Drive, tonight from 6 to 7:30. Like Will said, there's going to be musica, 25 years of unlimited music, and there will be requests, of course. Is there a fee to get in?
Yes. So there's a members are $5 and non-members are $10.
Sounds good. So aquí los esperamos en los estudios. Again, if you don't know the address, we're going to be at 135 Gaster Drive from 6 to 7:30. So aquí los esperamos. You're listening to La Hora on KVON 1440 AM. Y aquí después de un little commercial break, we will come right back. Aquí te espero.
Sabes, mi amor, pórtate bien, no debes llorar, ya sabes por qué. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Todo lo apunta, todo lo ve, sigue los pasos, estés donde estés. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Sabe de ti, él sabe de mí, él lo sabe todo, intentes huir. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad.
This is Isela Martin on KVON 1440 AM. This is La Hora with Isela. And I have to say, it's been a wonderful morning. We started off with the wonderful Will Marcencia, the owner of the Vine Studio, y también de KVON 1440. And so we were talking a little bit about Napa County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We'll be having their annual holiday event, and it will be here in the studios. We are here across the parking lot from the Century Theater on Gasser Drive. Y van a empezar a las 6. Unfortunately, I will not be here, pero ya saben. Aquí va a estar su gente siempre celebrando and having a great time. Proceeds will be going to Napa County Animal Shelter. So come out, adopt, and what a great gift that's going to be. Today, everybody kind of ya sabe que no hablo de religión, de política, but when we're trying to think a little bit about cultura and where everyone's kind of leaning to. And again, this doesn't go to absolutely any religious party or belief or anything, or political party, excuse me, or belief. But, you know, alrededor de la cultura mexicana, there are people that have been waking up, or they velaron a la Virgen de Guadalupe this morning. And so, I wanted to talk a little bit about that and what that means, and why is it we wake up? ¿Por qué es que nos velamos la Virgen y no la dejamos sola? And all the celebrations that are happening for La Virgen right now. And so I did also want to talk about a little bit about Nicaragua and also La Virgen, how they actually celebrate around this time for her as well. The celebration por la Concepción had just happened not too long ago. But again, today, I mean, I'm thinking millions of people are the ones that are, you know, celebrating para la Virgen de Guadalupe. And with that said, you know, I wanted to give a little bit of history and how is it que la Virgen de Guadalupe became celebrated. So where is it located? So la Virgen de Guadalupe is located in Tepeyac Hill in Mexico City. We celebrate on the 12 de diciembre since 1531. So un poco de historia. And like I said, I might not have it completely right. Granted that I was at a boarding school many, many years ago. Monjitas that were strong and very strict believers of La Virgen de Guadalupe. So I'm not going to call them out. I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, much love to las madrecitas. But, you know, there are so many different accounts. There's so many different versions. There's also conspiracy theories out there, whether or not this was ever true or not. And I'm not here to put, you know, a stop to conspiracy theories. And I'm not here either to move forward, you know, whether or not it's a true story. It's for anybody that wants to believe. And so, como su servidora, nada más soy, estoy brindando información that I have always been given, you know, as culturally driven in la familia mexicana of two parents, nacidos en Jalisco. So my dad's a huge devout, if that's devout, I'm not sure how I'd say that, but he's a strong believer of la Virgen, of Juan Diego, now que es un santo. But anyhow, going back to velando and doing all this stuff. So I heard some folks were staying up. Actually, they went to mass. They stayed. They were singing. They were rezando. And they stayed up the entire night into, you know, what is Las Mañanitas this morning. And Las Mañanitas are saying, oh, my gosh, I love Las Mañanitas. And I'll play some mañanitas here shortly, but after I go to a commercial break, and we will play them specifically para toda la gente que cumple su santo el día de hoy, que son Guadalupes. So my tía Lupita, who's here in Napa, that is going to go out to her, y que Dios siempre, siempre le esté cuidando. And then it goes to my brother, Jose Guadalupe Martin Jr., and then, of course, my father, Jose Guadalupe Martin. I know there's a bunch of Lupitas and Lupitos out there, so muchas felicidades en su santo today, which is quite amazing how many people are celebrating that. Y claro, todas esas personas que están comiendo un little menudito, some tortillas hechas a mano. I know that's going down this morning at many, many places, including my parents' house. So hop on over to my parents si se les antoja un menudito por ahí. So so going back to a little bit of the history, so, you know, it happened that the Virgin Mary had appeared four times before Juan Diego, and one more time before Juan Diego's uncle. Juan Diego's uncle was, of course, sick. This occurred on, I believe, the first apparition happened somewhat or around the morning of December 9th. And so it was said that, you know, it was a vision to call it Tepeyac, the home for La Virgen de Guadalupe. And so, anyhow, moving forward, it was kind of presented. There was a little bit of disbelief, a little bit of belief, and until finally, you know, once the apparition came on una tilma and full of roses and in front of, in that time in early history, I'm trying to get the name right, where it was given to un fray back in the 1500s. You know, it was a great disbelief on the friar, and that this was even actually happening. And so when it actually happened that it was on the tilma, and a lot of people are asking themselves, well, what the heck is a tilma? I don't know what that is. And so la tilma is pretty much the material where the Virgin of Guadalupe left her huella, and left her her, a replicated picture of herself. And I won't go into great detail as to, you know, what everything means, but left the apparition there and has since then still been very present and preserved, which, you know, to many, many profesionales, they would have said that, you know, this should have decomposed a long time ago, and it hasn't. And where is it? Está en la Basílica, en el Tepeyac Hill, en la Ciudad de México. And so right now, we really, I would love to just have a magic, you know, just maybe even a film or, gosh, I can't even think of the word right now, but a camera fly over, a drone fly over, and just see the millions of people that are coming. And so you have peregrinaciones. So I believe that there are people in small towns that walk almost as a martyr, and they're walking for miles, for days, for weeks. Some people come on their knees. Some other people have, you know, como mártir, they would put, you know, espinas on them, or they're, you know, some even would go as far as like whipping themselves, you know, the entire time going there. I remember one time, like, I'm going to see una virgen, I believe it's la Virgen de Talpa. There was people haciendo peregrinaciones, and during the peregrinación, they were coming on their knees up hills, up rocky, hillsides, and, you know, people would arrive at the iglesia with, you know, tore up knees and legs and, you know, bleeding, and, I mean, it's a real thing, and it's, some people would call it crazy, but some people say, este es mi amor. This is how big of a follower I am of La Virgen, of God, and other things. So going back on the celebration, I mean, there's really marvelous things about La Celebración de la Virgen, and that is, you know, the music, there's cánticos around it. Again, this is almost like a celebration that goes to goes through the Catholic Church, and not necessarily through other religious entities. And so I don't know. And if you have any information or would like to share how you celebrate your Día de Virgen de Guadalupe, that would be great. Like I said, there's others that do not celebrate. And so during this time also, what I wanted to bring on is Las Posadas. So in speaking a little bit about religion and not predominantly about what it is, there's a little bit of a teeter-totter going on. Okay, si unos no celebran la Virgen de Guadalupe, there are a lot of people that celebrate las posadas, pero also las posadas sí tienen una influencia católica. And why is that? If you notice, las posadas are celebrated mainly with nativity sets, role play of El Nacimiento de Nuestro Señor. And so it is really a reenactment of two people dressed up as Mary and Joseph. And then in certain, I want to say La Posada means almost like you're asking for care. Estás pidiendo, you know, pretty much, you know, for someone to darme un espacio para que me duerma, because, you know, you're asking for that, for someone to open that door and let me in, and it's just amazing. So you kind of do that almost in a peregrinación. If you're celebrating it indoor, outdoor, there's people singing on the inside, pretty much closing their doors to Mary and Joseph, and then all of a sudden there's that wonderful door that stays open, and then there is a wonderful canto that they sing, Entren Peregrinos. And so and it's really like you guys are looking for a house, you guys found one, and so there's a celebration. And so you have piñatas de cántaro. I love piñatas de cántaro, but, you know, they're very dangerous. Piñatas de cántaro are made out of clay, and then they're decorated on the outside, and they look like just any regular piñata. Those were the original piñatas back in the day. And unfortunately, you know, clay breaks, it slams on your head, you're looking up, you got clay in your eye, people are getting cut. I mean, cántaros are really heavy, so you're swinging this big jug in the air, and it's hitting people in the stomach, you know. People were getting extremely hurt. So piñatas are now made out of cardboard. I mean, those things still get heavy, so don't get me wrong. Once you put a couple bags of candy in those bad boys, I mean, you're looking at least 35 pounds coming straight towards you. Especially when it's swinging. There are some pretty aggressive piñata uncles out there that have it on a rope and are helping out these kids. So, you know, simmer down with the piñata swings, please. So anyway, going back to a little bit of the variations, and what could we expect when we're like at posadas, and what can we expect, you know, at Virgen de Guadalupe celebrations? Really, today you're going to have a lot of students that are going to be very tired, especially the Latino descent. Not all, but I'm just saying that if you're wondering, like, man, I have a lot of kids that are falling asleep. Today I heard that in St. John's, it was standing room only. It was like so packed, and there was people outside, people with umbrellas. So really interesting. I heard some people left to Vallejo, and then there were some other folks that were headed to Fairfield and Vacaville. So shout out to all those people that se levantaron temprano and they were doing all that great stuff and celebrating at such an early hour of the day. Y luego aparte, you know, kind of going back to posadas, it's ¿qué es lo que estamos haciendo during the las posadas? Is it really religiously infused, or is this just a otra excusa to have a pachanga? And so seriously, I mean, looking at so many different things or different parties or posadas, there are so many different. They really exclude the whole Mary and Joseph to just getting together and almost having a Christmas party and just slapping the name posada on there without really doing or walking through the entire, you know, religious kind of same kind of ¿cómo se diría? Como un villancico, pretty much. So anyway, and it's cool. You could do whatever you want with those posadas. So in part of doing the posadas, what can you expect? What kind of food do you plan on finding there? You can find anywhere from tamales to pozole to sopes. I mean, literally, it's finger food. Tamales aren't finger food, but I mean, te comes uno por uno. So I would consider that, of course, se lo comen sin la hoja, please. Do not eat tamales with the corn husk. And remember, it's just a wrapper. It's what's inside that counts as really yummy. It can be anywhere from dinner to a sweet dessert. So you can find it to be either with rajas con queso, that is the vegan option, but I love it, or vegetarian, sorry, not vegan. And then we have some, at least in my household, we have costillita de puerco con chilito rojo and unos de pollo, which has a medley of vegetables inside. Those are the common ones that we make in our household. Now, my mom and my grandma and my grandpa en paz descanse would make tamales de elote, which was really, really good, or taquitos de elote. It's almost like a crepe, and then they're so thin that you roll them up. Oh my gosh, bien calentito. They're super good. Todo lo que es pretty much, you know, corn molido. Y super, super sweet. Otra cosita, también los tamales dulces. They come in all different sizes, shapes, colors, because they put a little bit of food dye here and there. But I remember growing up, ours were always pink. So we're like, no, quiero un pink. No, yo quiero un pink. Quiero un tamal pink. And we'd fight over them, of course. So tamales dulces are definitely around. I've had anywhere from guayaba, from piña, and I cannot remember the other one that I had, but it was semi-sweet, which was very, very unique. So también los buñuelos, ya sean, I've only tasted the ones from Michoacán, from Jalisco. I haven't tasted anything other sweet. Conchas, un café, un ponche. Oh, my God, ponches are so delicious. Un ponche. So if I translated that in English, ponche is punch. And so pretty much it is a fruit punch, but it's warm. It has different tastes, tiene anywhere from canela, ciruela pasa. It has guayabas, tantísimas cositas. Everyone makes it unique. Unos le echan un piquetito. Other people do not. And, you know, it all depends. I recommend not putting your ciruela pasas inside of your ponche beforehand or way too long. I would say put your ciruela pasas, maybe just one, in there, possibly right before you're going to serve it. If you have your ciruela pasa, your plums, sitting there and just boiling and boiling with your ponche, then you're going to have people running out the door. And I say that because I remember somebody else really had un ponche. They had so many plums in there, dried plums, you know, and it was horrible. Everybody was running towards the bathroom. So be careful. No le pongan mucha ciruela pasa into your ponche this year for sure, definitely. Y otra cosita, el atolito. No puedes faltar el atolito. And I really, oh my gosh, it's so delicious. In my household, we used to have just atole blanco, which is really simple. Right. And there was other different flavors that are out there. And I always thought atole blanco was it. I'm like, I'm not too fond of atole blanco and all this stuff. So I wasn't fond. Every time my mom would bring it out, I'm like, no, no quiero, no quiero. And then I started seeing people making atole de guayaba, de piña, like all these different flavors. And I'm like, where has this been my whole life, you know? It's crazy because I've been lied to my whole life. I was like, that's all. This is todo. This is nada más hay. But my mom was doing atole from back in history. Nothing wrong with that. Tell me about it. But, you know, now knowing que hay un atolito por ahí, oh, my gosh, que son de sabores. It's really like, oh, my gosh, so rico, so nice, so warm. It's almost like okay, let me give you the true definition. So it's a traditional hot corn and masa-based beverage of Mesoamerica. There is chocolate atole, and it's called champurrado or just atolito. Like El Día de los Muertos, we have it. Día de los Muertos, we have it for las posadas. We have it during this cold season. Like, oh, my gosh, it's just so delicious. I can't even tell you. So let me tell you, the drink trip typically includes masa, water, piloncillo, cinnamon, vainilla, and sometimes you can have the optional of chocolate, which then converts it into champurrado, or then optional, fruit. So, please, please be careful with this drink. It will scald you for life. So if you're like, oh, it's like a hot cup of coffee. If your coffee is hot and it scalds you, this thing will peel your skin back. Because it's so thick, it's almost like having a hot tortilla and it sticks to the roof of your mouth when it's way too hot. This will happen. It will do like a real coat. And it's pretty bad. So let it cool down. Sean pacientes because ese atole nadie se lo quiere robar. We want some, of course. And I'm going to close off right now just with this, you know, having el atole nice and clear in your mind. No se los olvide, Navidad is here, and it's like so good. Ya sabe tan rico que ya se me están antojando unos buñuelos, you know, un atolito. But anyway, you know you're listening to La Hora on KVON 1440 AM, La Hora with Isela. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in town. We talked a little bit about chamber events, and we're going to talk about una Navidad y sus fiestas for tomorrow, okay? So stay tuned. Again, this is La Hora with Isela on 1440 AM.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas.
This is Isela Martin on KBON 1440 AM. This is La Hora with Isela. Feliz Navidad. I know we have almost like, guess it on, like 2 weeks. Next week, we're already, I mean, gosh, my sister's birthday is coming up. Today's my brother and my dad's santo. I mean, we know we're going to eat galore. And so just wanted to remind everybody that today we do have a couple of events that are happening. So the Napa County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is having their mixer here in the studios at the Vine. So make sure you make your way over here at 6 o'clock tonight, and it'll go up to 7:30. So there's going to be an extensive line of music. También, all the proceeds will be going to Napa County Animal Shelter here in town. So please make your way out here. Maybe you'll go away with a nice little gift for Christmas. So, otra cosita. I did want to remind everybody that also Napa County Hispanic Network will be having Navidad y sus fiestas tomorrow. It's going to be a great event. And so what it is, it's basically they will be having they'll be having at the Napa Valley College in the community room. They're going to be having Navidad y sus fiestas. There's going to be danza. There's going to be canto. There's going to be a little bit of food, a little bit of vending. So there's going to be a couple of vendors that are going to be out there. So if you need some little knickknacks, some cute little things that you need to get, I think anything ranges from $5 all the way up to $20 to $35. So it's to make your way over there. It is a free event. If you'd like to keep donating for scholarships and keep and maintain Napa County Hispanic Network alive in helping and supporting Latino students and scholarships for them to continue school, make your way over to Napa Valley College at the community room, okay? We will be there mañana a las 6, and it will go up to 8:30. So allí los esperamos con un poquito de canto, a little bit of danza, a little bit of vending, and then, of course, it's just that spirit of Christmas. Allí los esperamos con muchísimo gusto. I love today's show. We talked a little bit about, you know, cultura. We talked a little bit about religion. We talked a little bit about comida, especially all the time. I think I did that last time, too. Every time we're talking about the holidays and cultura, it comes right back around, and it's like always making me hungry. So ahorita me voy a ir a comer un platito de menudo con unas tortillas hechas a mano that for sure I know I will expect or see at my parents' home, because today is el santo de mi padre, and also it's el santo of my beloved brother Junior, who's in Orange County. So I love you so much. Mi gente, fue un gran placer, and I have to say that, you know, what can I say? I'm in the holiday spirit this year. Yo creo que all of you guys should too. I'm going to go ahead and close the show. I'm going to close the show off with one of my favorite, ¿cómo se llama? Jingles of all time. I know you guys like Jose Feliciano. I think I asked a couple of people last time, what was one of your favorite songs? During the holidays, there was somebody that said or mentioned that they don't celebrate the holidays. Okay, but during this time, what is the music that you do feel? ¿Cuál es lo que sientes en la sangre? And that you're kind of like, oh my gosh, during this time, during este frillito, with este atolito, this is what I most like, you know? And no one, there is no wrong or right answer to it. You know, my favorite songs ahorita really are, the ones that talk more about familia, a little bit more about cultura, that remind me of, Navidades when I was very, very young, which were really sweet. And I say that with a huge heart, porque se extraña a mi abuelo. So mi abuelo Trinidad. So he was a great pillar for our family, and I am feeling his loss most definitely. And so con eso voy a cerrar today's show with, you know, my favorite. I like Luis Miguel's canciones de Navidad, and I have to say they're probably one of the best. I almost feel like he's the He's a Latino version of Mr. Buble. And I know there's going to be a couple people that don't agree with that, but I'm like, whatever, it's okay. But, you know, those are the things that I like during this Christmas time. Y espero que les haya gustado today's show. Today's show, we talked, like I said, a little bit about cultura and how that all looks for nuestras familias that are out there, you know. Y claro, please be patient with us today. There's a couple of us that are going to be looking like zombies because we stayed up the entire jornada of, you know, the night shift, and we went all the way into graveyard and now celebrating La Llegada de la Virgen. So just FYI, if you're kind of curious why people have, you know, a drowsy eye this morning. So please be careful with that. So without further ado, I'm going to play mi cancioncita favorita, Mr. Luis Miguel here, y espero que a ustedes también les guste, okay? Y no se les olvide, mi gente, que estaban escuchando KVON 1440 AM, La Hora con Isela. Aquí nos esperamos la siguiente semana. I will wait for you next week. I will be here the same time, same día. Así que no esperen más. Díganle a toda su gente. Tell everybody KVON, La Hora with Isela.
Mi amor, pórtate bien, no debes llorar, ya sabes por qué. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Todo lo apunta, todo lo ve, sigue los pasos, estés donde estés. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Sabe de ti, él sabe de mí, él lo sabe todo, no intentes huir. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Te observa cuando duermes, te mira al despertar. No intentes ocultarte de él, pues siempre te verá. Él sabe de ti, él sabe de mí, lo sabe todo, no intentes huir. Santa Claus llegó, Santa Claus llegó, Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad.